MRN.com. Tonight, we've got the Camping World Truck Series Bar Harbor 200 from Dover. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
It's 6:05. Welcome to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, the KGYM Road Trip, being driven by Linder Tire, coming to you from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, the Main Gym. Right now, Texas A&M and Baylor still underway in the bottom of the ninth inning. A&M with an 8-5 lead, the Bears down to their last three outs. Why is that game important to folks in eastern Iowa? Well, it's the same NCAA baseball regional as the Iowa Hawkeyes are playing in. The Hawkeyes waiting in the wings currently to face the Houston Cougars, the number one seed in the regional. And Iowa's next opponent is either going to be the number three seed Aggies or the number two Bears, depending on what the Hawkeyes do tonight. A little after 7 o'clock, that game set to be broadcast on ESPN. And we'll be talking about Iowa baseball, win or lose, coming up on Monday's edition of the program when our full-time producer, Kyle Mann, comes on board for the very first time. Kyle's with us here at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City today. He's getting you set up for some prizes. Stop on in, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. We're going to be here for another hour. Happy hour runs until 7 o'clock as well. Look at Morgan behind the bar doing a fantastic job of trying to keep up with all the $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic drafts as the happy hour special. People taking in college baseball, a little Major League Baseball on tap tonight as well. All of the Cubs and Cardinals took care of business earlier today. We're going to talk a little more about last night's NBA Finals Game 1 coming up at the bottom of the hour, as well as some other news and notes from around the sports world today as well. But it is Friday, and sometimes we like to save the best for last here, and we've been doing this the last couple weeks on the program because of how busy we've been. Time now for Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave his permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm okay. Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
All right, Todd, we'll start with you. You go, we go.
You go, we go, you go home now. Dexter Fowler winning the World Series last year with the Cubs, a fan favorite, one of my favorite players. Back at Wrigley Field today, getting his World Series ring, Jason Hayward and Anthony Rizzo meeting him at home plate to present him with that ring. And what a fantastic sight. He was welcomed by the crowd at Wrigley. They love themselves some Dexter Fowler until he stepped into the batter's box in the first inning to face his old teammate John Lackey and led off the game with a home run. And then the Wrigley faithful weren't quite as happy with Dexter Fowler. But I'm going to love this. He was such an integral part of last season's World Series run. I was having this conversation at Veterans Memorial Stadium last night with a friend of mine about minimal changes between this year's team and last year's team. But you look at guys like David Ross and Dexter Fowler, and you take them out of the clubhouse, and this is just a different team this year. And obviously everybody knows how much David Ross meant to that team because you've seen and heard it a million times on Dancing with the Stars and ESPN broadcasts. But I don't think people truly understand what Dexter Fowler meant to that team. He's not the greatest leadoff hitter in the game by any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, he's struggling a little bit this year with the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm not going to contest that at all. But there's just something beyond the numbers in the box score about Dexter Fowler and having him on the team in Chicago the last 2 years. Love the guy. Love him, love him, love him. Didn't necessarily like the home run today.
Number two.
Alex, the great Bill Snyder is out of line.
What do great people and great coaches and great ambassadors do when they're out of line? They admit they're out of line, and Bill Snyder has done so. If you haven't heard the story coming out of Manhattan, Kansas, Corey Sutton, who was listed number two on the depth chart for the Wildcats, wanted to transfer. At first, he was not released by Bill Snyder to transfer anywhere, and now he has been. The problem really stems from the comments that Bill Snyder made to the media. He was asked about Corey Sutton and why he was not allowed to transfer, and he basically said, well, we want him to stay here, and I understand that. First of all, I'll start by saying I think that the transfer rules are ridiculous in the sense that coaches get to dictate where the player can or cannot transfer to. If the player wants to give up a year of eligibility, then that's his choice. But that's a different story for a different day. But the real problem came when Bill Snyder talked about Corey Sutton, saying that basically disclosing private information that he had failed two drug tests in his time in Manhattan. If you don't know anything about drug testing when it comes to college football and college sports, there's a mandatory drug test that tests for performance-enhancing drugs that's administered by the NCAA, and the teams test for other recreational drugs such as marijuana, and it's up to the team to decide what they want to do if a player tests positive. And all the time, players are testing positive, and some coaches are stricter, some aren't. Bill Snyder, in this case, said that he had never had a player test positive twice for drugs, and he kept him on the team. He did with Corey Sutton, but that should absolutely never get out into the media, especially straight from the coach. If you think about some of the players that have been dismissed from the team, let's just stay here in Iowa City. You hear a lot of reasons why, and none of them are very clear. For example, you hear conduct detrimental to the Iowa football program. I'm not speculating, but there are a lot of situations, not only with Iowa, but programs around the country where that is code word for failed drug tests. Their reason should absolutely never get out into the media. And Bill Snyder stepped out of line in this situation, and being the great guy that he is, he admitted that he stepped out of line and apologized to Sutton for his remarks about his failed drug tests. So I love the fact that Bill Snyder was out of line in this situation. He was.
Number three.
Hawkeye history in Houston, Todd.
Iowa getting ready to participate in its second NCAA regional in 3 years under Rick Heller, and they've got an opportunity to make some history tonight with a victory. And if they do, they're going to be taking on the Texas A&M Aggies tomorrow. That game has finally gone final. Texas A&M, an 8-5 winner over Baylor in game one of the NCAA regional in Houston today. That means the winner of Iowa-Houston faces A&M. The loser gets Baylor, which Jack Dom joined us a couple minutes ago, described as a very scrappy team. Wouldn't necessarily be a bad showdown, an elimination game between Iowa and Baylor, but as of right now, with A&M as the winner in that game, Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes have their sights set on a team that I think is underseeded. I think Texas A&M probably could have had a case to be the number two seed in the tournament in this particular regional. But the bottom line for Iowa is none of it matters. You've got to get through Houston first in a double elimination tournament like this one. So key to get off to a good start. And you look at the struggles of some of the other Big Ten teams today. We mentioned Michigan has already lost to Florida Gulf Coast, and one of the bigger upsets, Yale, a 5-1 winner over a beleaguered and battered Nebraska Cornhusker team. So two Big Ten teams, one loss away from being eliminated. The Hawkeyes are hoping to avoid making it three later on tonight. 7:04, first pitch in Houston.
Number four.
Warriors in six.
Todd, the last segment of yesterday's show was devoted to hot takes on the NBA Finals and predictions, and we both made our predictions. And my prediction, as much as maybe I don't want it to go this way or whatever the case is, my prediction was Warriors in six, and I love this. I'm still going to stick with that. I think it's very easy for a lot of people to get caught up in the moment and predict that the Warriors are going to sweep this series or they'll win in five. It'll be easy. Maybe Cleveland just picks up one win in Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. But I think that LeBron James and Kyrie Irving are going to find a way to make this a series. Unfortunately for them, I don't think it's enough. Let's look at last night's game, a 24-point victory for the Golden State Warriors. They didn't shoot particularly well from really anywhere. They shot 40%, just over 40% from the field. They didn't shoot that much higher of a shooting percentage from three than the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they turned the ball over less. And as I brought up yesterday, with the addition of Kevin Durant, it makes it almost impossible for a defensive rotation, for rotation to be good enough to not leave open a wide-open shooter. So for the Cavaliers to have a chance to win this series, they have to hope that the Golden State Warriors, like they've done the last two seasons in the finals, miss a lot of shots. If they can shoot 40 to 43% per night, it's going to be very, very tough. If they shoot mediocre in this series, it's going to be very, very tough for the Cleveland Cavaliers to win it. So I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to stick with the Golden State Warriors in six. The addition of Kevin Durant makes them almost unfair.
Number five.
All right, Todd, doing time.
Doing time. I am going to love this. The news today coming out that several of the people involved in the Jerry Sandusky scandal at Penn State are either going to serve actual jail time or at the bare minimum be under house arrest. That includes Graham Spanier, who was president of the university, found guilty a couple months ago of a couple misdemeanor counts. Spanier is going to spend some time in jail along with Tim Curley. I think their business manager also was one of the key players in this that wound up having sentences today handed down. And I think the key here, what really struck me, is that Spanier and Curley were in tears pleading for mercy from the judge in this case. And I just have a hard time not appreciating the irony, because what do you think the victims of Jerry Sandusky were probably feeling when he was molesting them and Penn State was turning the other cheek? Folks, it's been 5 years, and Joe Paterno got his wins back. The NCAA eased off the sanctions on that program. People are acting as if this never happened, and to see actual tangible punishment, although it's a couple months and not a couple years, and there's no amount of punishment that could possibly give those victims their lives back, it's good to see that people are actually having to pay the piper for their actions here. This is something that I am never going to stop talking about as long as it is in the news. I was absolutely shaken to my core at finding out that this happened, and the only regret that I have is that Joe Paterno isn't alive today to also see what would have happened with him as far as his involvement in turning the other while this was going on. Doing time, that's what these guys are going to be doing, and I love it.
Number six.
Subban's guarantee.
P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators guaranteed that the Predators were going to win Game 3. Then he was asked again if he wanted to maybe temper those expectations. No. In fact, he doubled down on it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to guarantee for P.K. Subban that they're going to win not only Game 3, but they're also going to win Game 4. The Nashville Predators are absolutely outstanding inside Bridgestone Arena. They played two good periods in Games 1 and 2 inside PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, and they have absolutely nothing to show for it. What I know about the Nashville Predators is they're a gritty team, and they're not going to give up. And they play inside of a building that is the best party in the NHL. These two games are going to go to the Nashville Predators, and we're going to head back to Pittsburgh for Game 5 with a 2-2 series. So I love the fact that P.K. Subban is as confident as he is, and I will go as far as to say they're going to win the next two.
Number seven.
All right, Todd, collusion.
This is on the subject of Colin Kaepernick, and I find this interesting that he still doesn't have a job. And he was said to be very close to being signed by the Seattle Seahawks. And that didn't come to fruition. And now you've got reports that the Seahawks were told to stay away from Colin Kaepernick. And you put this in alongside the comments that were made by the Giants organization with regard to Colin Kaepernick. This is collusion at its very most basic definition. And I'll tell you what, Colin Kaepernick is going to have a case against the National Football League. And this isn't about a political stance and whether or not I agree with what he did last year in taking a knee during the national anthem. But I'm going to say something here with regard to Colin Kaepernick. What does it say about the National Football League that teams won't employ Colin Kaepernick, but they will give guys like Josh Brown, the kicker of the Giants, a job? And guys like Randy Gregory get second and third chances. Guys who are habitual drug users, guys who beat women. The NFL has no problem with those guys playing in the league. But they won't touch a guy who's very clearly good enough to not only be a backup quarterback on most teams, but he could probably start for some of them as well. This is collusion, plain and simple. He's going to wind up probably suing and winning. Anybody can see this. And for the NFL to pretend like this isn't going on is completely dishonest. Leave it.
Number eight.
Rudolph, the number one pick.
If you follow me at AlexKuhn523, I made one of my bold predictions today. I have about four or five of these per year, and it's usually a gut feeling. I'd say they're about 30% accurate 100% of the time. There's been a lot of talk about the 2018 quarterback class as it pertains to the NFL draft, and we're hearing about Josh Allen out of Wyoming. A lot of Hawkeye fans already know about him. And we're hearing a lot about Sam Darnold out of USC. But a name that we're not hearing about, who I think is the best out of all of them, is Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State. And I've gotten to see him play quite a bit. But the thing that put me over the edge, and if you go on YouTube, if you go on Twitter right now, there's video of him throwing a ball to his brother who is, I guess, on a jet ski hitting his brother in stream. I don't know how to put this. In stream on a jet ski about 60 yards away in the middle of a lake. And not only the fact that he's a well-put-together 6'5", 235-pound quarterback, has great touch, some of the best touch that I've seen from quarterbacks in quite a long time. Great arm strength, good feet, can run. I think he reminds me a little bit of Matt Ryan, especially with his mental makeup and his ability, in my opinion, to become a franchise quarterback. It's about what I saw on Twitter today that put me over the edge to predict that Mason Rudolph, as Kyle Mann pulls up the video right now, hitting his brother in stride, in stream, however you want to put it, on a jet ski, Mason Rudolph is going to be the number one overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft. Mark it right down. Mark it now. It's going to happen. You heard it here first.
Number nine.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
I said this earlier. I think I'm going to take the text line's suggestion on this one. I'm trying to think of what I want for my first Father's Day gift, and I think I'm going to get into the meat smoking business. Not actually selling it, but I think I've got to get myself a smoker at this point. I think it's the next logical step into fully transitioning into being a middle-aged man, making my own smoked meats. And unless people can talk me out of this, it's going to become a thing. So I'm going to love this.
Number 10.
Alex, fidget spinners.
Todd, I got one right here.
It's a different one than you had. How many of those do you have?
This is my second one. I actually lost my first one already, which is part of the issue of as to why I have one of these. First one was a Batman fidget spinner. This one is a Denver Broncos fidget spinner. Don't know why I picked the Broncos, but I picked up one anyway. We talked about these the other day, and I was kind of made fun of on the text line as I was suggesting that these things are...
Shame on the texters.
I was suggesting that these things are good for people with ADD, much like myself. So I'm going to go out on a limb and double down, at just as P.K. Subban doubled down and said that the Nashville Predators are going to win Game 3. I'm going to double down and say that these things are great inventions for people with ADD, because let me take you into the mind of someone who has it. I am constantly, when I am sitting here on set, wanting to look at other things, wanting to look at Travis over here, one of my friends who just got a $2.50 domestic pint at the bar here at Coach's Corner. Want to look at the bird flying by, but when I have one of these in my hands, I'm dialed in on you, Todd. I'm dialed in on the show, and I think that it helps a lot of kids who are in school do the same thing, because it's distracting you from wanting to pick up your phone, wanting to look at your computer, wanting to look at the bird flying by. So I love fidget spinners. I was very, very pessimistic when I first found out about these things. In fact, I called them one of the worst inventions that I've ever seen, and possibly an invention that is a sign of the times. But after using it a few times, I'm all in on them. I love them.
And that'll do it for another edition of Love It or Leave It. It is 6:26. When we come back, not only will we give you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, but Rick Heller's starting lineup is available and public for the game against Houston tonight. Spoiler alert, Chris Whalen is leading off atop the lineup. Not much has changed, but we'll run down what the Hawkeye lineup will look like tonight against the Houston Cougars when we return. It's the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire.
Linn County REC is always working hard to provide its members with reliable service, but unexpected events, like storms, can cause issues. Now, if power's interrupted, Linn County REC members can see the outage map or report an outage right from the Smart Hub app. Download it now from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, and you'll be ready. Then, if power's ever interrupted, you can get the details or report the outage in just a tap. A little information can help you feel a whole lot better. That's just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Summer can really shine a light on your damaged pavement. Fixing it can be more affordable than you think. Stop dodging those cracks and potholes and call Pate Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at PateAsphalt.com.
Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
6:27, welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Join us, won't you? 7:49, Mormon Trek Boulevard, where the black and gold continues to mount in number tonight. 7:04. First pitch, with the Hawkeyes chasing an NCAA regional title and hoping to advance to the super regionals, where they would likely face North Carolina. Let's dive in with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We'll start with the Iowa baseball team. They are taking on Houston tonight in game one of the regionals for them as far as the double elimination tournament is concerned. It's left-hander Ryan Erickson as the starting pitcher tonight, and not right-hander Nick Gallagher. If the Hawkeyes win tonight, they will face Texas A&M tomorrow, the number 3 seed in the bracket. And if they lose, they've got a date with the number 2 seed, the Baylor Bears. Texas A&M, an 8-5 winner earlier today. First baseman Jake Adams picked up another All-American honor today, this time a second team nod from College Sports Madness. The University of Northern Iowa's wrestling program may soon be joining the Big 12 as an affiliate member, according to IAWrestle.com. Only Iowa State and 3 other Big 12 schools feature wrestling, so the league has 6 affiliate members. The Panthers have wrestled as an affiliate member of the Mid-American Conference since 2012. Iowa State will be receiving a 15% bonus in revenue distribution from the Big 12 this season. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby announced today each school will get $34.8 million this year. That's up from $30.4 million in 2016. And the Cedar Rapids Colonels beat Quad Cities 11-1 last night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Colonels 31-23 as they go on the road to face Burlington tonight. First pitch at Community Field right around the corner. We mentioned the starting lineup available for the Hawkeyes in their game against Houston tonight. Here's what Rick Heller's lineup looks like. He's got Chris Whalen batting leadoff in left field, Mason McCoy at shortstop batting second, then Big Ten Player of the Year Jake Adams at first base in the three-hole, backed up by Robert Nystrom hitting cleanup in right field. Really no changes from your typical Iowa lineup. Tyler Cropley behind the plate batting fifth. Grant Judkins will serve as the DH tonight. Matt Hoig is holding down the hot corner at third. Ben Norman in center and Mitchell Bowe at second base. And as we mentioned, Ryan Erickson, the left-hander, on the mound for Iowa. 7:04 first pitch. ESPNU will be carrying the game tonight on television for those that aren't able to listen to it on the radio. We do not have it here, by the way, on KGYM, but we do have baseball of a different variety for you. At 8:30 tonight, it's the Minnesota Twins taking on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim out on the West Coast, and we'll have that for you on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, your home for Minnesota Twins baseball all summer long. Don't forget, you can vote in our poll question today at kgymradio.com. We want to know how you think Iowa will fare this weekend in the NCAA tournament. Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question. Check them out on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. 6:31 at the Coach's Corner. Stop on in. Make sure you grab a seat. They're filling up fast for Iowa baseball tonight. Happy hour going for another 29 minutes. $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic pints as people are gearing up for first pitch. The weekend is right around the corner. You may as well start it a little early with us. Not a good day so far for the Big Ten. Three games have been played, and all of them were losses. We mentioned Florida Gulf Coast beating Michigan 10-6. Nebraska on the wrong side of a 5-1 game in Corvallis against Yale. And West Virginia had no problem as the number 2 seed against Maryland. The Mountaineers a 9-1 winner in that matchup. So the Hawkeyes looking to reverse the fortunes of the Big Ten. Not that they're playing for the conference and pride or anything today. They're playing for a victory to advance on the winner's side of the bracket in that regional. But the Big Ten 0-3 so far today in the NCAA tournament. When we come back, we'll talk about, well, it's sort of a tournament of a different variety. The NBA playoffs and the finals got underway last night. Game one goes to Golden State. We'll take your thoughts at 319-366-1600 and more when we return after this. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire.
Thank you for never giving up.
Thank you for protecting our planet.
Thank you for saving the human race.
Only Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil can deliver the ultimate protection needed for those protecting our world. We're proud to do our part to protect them. Thank you, Autobots, for doing yours to protect us all. Valvoline, the official synthetic motor oil of Transformers The Last Knight, in theaters June 23rd. Right now, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil at Advance Auto Parts. Get a free Valvoline action figure. Offer expires July 26, 2017. Proof of purchase required. Limit 2 while supplies last. See store for more details.
When you test drive a car, you drive it maybe a few miles. CarQuest brakes are vehicle tested over 1 million miles. Overkill? Maybe. But would you want your brakes tested any less? CarQuest brakes, tested to ensure superior stopping performance over the competition. Right now, save up to $20 by mail on CarQuest Wherever Gold brake pads and two CarQuest rotors. Only at Advance Auto Parts and CarQuest Auto Parts. N62817, $10 per axle, see store or advanceautoparts.com for details.
As a 300-foot-tall dino monster, people think all I'm good at is rampaging. But there's more to me than that. Just like Geico. Yeah, they could save you money, but they also have over 75 years of savings and service. So Geico is super good at insurance. And yeah, I like rampaging. But I'm also a huge fan of opera.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
And welcome back after a quick break. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming to you from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire. Check them out in person, Grinnell, North Liberty in Iowa City, or online at lindertire.com. Some feedback coming in on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. A lot of people wanting to talk about last night's game. Golden State making a statement, a 113-91 win over the Cavaliers, and you went home, you said you had to watch this game. I'm just going to let you share your thoughts after seeing Golden State really have no problem. A couple people on the text line were surprised at how easy guys are getting to the basket, or were getting to the basket last night in game one. That's just the NBA today. It's not nearly as physical as it was 25, 20 years ago, where if you tried going to the hoop, Charles Barkley or Patrick Ewing was going to get physical with you.
That is true. But I think that Golden State got far too many of those opportunities, especially in transition. It's very difficult to keep that team from getting in transition with the way that with their athleticism and with them going small. They have a lot of shooters. They have a lot of guys that can get to the basket. And I think that the kind of the glue that holds them all together, a superstar in his own right, is Klay Thompson, who's one of the best two-way players in the NBA. And I've said this, and I will say it again. I thought coming into the season it was going to be an uphill climb for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I am not ready to write them off, because last year the series got underway in almost an identical fashion, a blowout loss. And there are going to be a lot of blowout losses in the NBA these days because teams shoot the three ball so often, and no team does it more than the Golden State Warriors, and no team to, I guess not statistically this year, but no team theoretically shoots the three ball better than the Golden State Warriors. They have one of the best shooters that we've ever seen in the history of the NBA, and I brought up Klay Thompson, and I brought up Draymond Green, and then you add Kevin Durant, and they are loaded. This is a very good team, and I think they're going to win this series, but LeBron James is going to make it interesting, but Kyrie Irving is going to make it interesting. I think Golden State probably wins game two. Possibly Cleveland gets one, maybe two, when they go back to Quick and Loans Arena. But I expect Golden State to win this series in six. I'm not ready to jump on the hot takes about how the Golden State Warriors are going to sweep this series. Not even close.
After watching the game last night, have your thoughts on the NBA Finals changed? 319-366-1600. Here's one thing we were going to touch on Love It or Leave It, and then I made a couple changes, but the LeBron haters.
They are
out in full force.
They are.
And I don't know what else you can say at this point. I've tried to drive my point home a number of times. You got to recognize a great player when you see one, and LeBron James is a great player. He's got a good supporting cast there. But I don't understand why people hate on him as much as they do. He cannot physically win a finals all by himself. It takes more than one player to wind up hoisting that trophy. And I just, the people who wait and look for every little instance to get on LeBron James bother me to no end, because how many of us are as successful and as good at what we do as LeBron James is at playing basketball?
None of us.
Exactly.
He had 28 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. He had 8 turnovers, and he forced some things last night, and I think that he always is given the green light to kind of do that. And I give credit once again to the Golden State Warriors. They were constantly stepping in passing lanes. They played very good, I think, on the ball defense against him, whether it was Andre Iguodala. Sometimes there were some other matchups on him, but for the most part, they did a pretty good job on LeBron James. But offensively, there wasn't anybody for Cleveland that really jumped out. Kyrie Irving, who was outstanding in the postseason, in the finals last year, he didn't have his best night. Kevin Love offensively was only 4 of 13 from the field. The Cleveland Cavaliers, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no LeBron hating. There's no Warrior hating. The series is going to come down to, do the Cleveland Cavaliers have enough offense to squeak out a couple of wins, to make the Golden State Warriors uncomfortable, to score with the Golden State Warriors, because they're going to score at a minimum 110 to 115 points per night, and there's really nothing you can do about it. They are one of the best offensive teams in the history of the NBA, and they have three of the top 10 to 15 players in the world right now. It's hard to match up with that.
We move from the NBA to the realm of the NFL because this is a little bit of a surprising move here. The Kansas City Chiefs have been criticized for drafting Patrick Mahomes and making the trade that they did to bring him on board. And now he's going to be down a receiver because, according to Ian Rappaport, the Kansas City Chiefs have released Jeremy Maclin, who had a $12.4 million cap hit and $7 million of that in dead money. Alex, what are the Chiefs doing here?
I think they see what they have. And you mentioned what the Chicago Bears are doing right now with their receiving core. I think they're trying to mimic a little bit of what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing. And when there are a lot of cap-savvy moves that you see this time of year. I don't know. There are several times where you'll see somebody get released and they re-sign. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Jeremy Maclin, but I think they just see a receiver who doesn't quite fit in to what they're wanting to do. And Andy Reid's offense under Alex Smith, and I think it's going to change a little bit under Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be a little bit more down the field, which is why they drafted the Texas Tech gunslinger. But right now, with Alex Smith at the helm, there's a lot of short to intermediate passing. The emergence of Tyreek Hill has been huge. And we talked to Adam Tesher a few weeks ago, and we talked about the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs had all six of their receivers coming back this year, and there was going to have to be one to get cut. There was going to have to be one to go. And we speculated maybe it was going to be Albert Wilson. Maybe it was going to be DeAnthony Thomas. I thought those were the obvious choices. Well, we find out now that it's Jeremy Maclin, and I do agree with you, Todd. It's a surprise, and it's a little bit head-scratching.
Speaking of the NFL and a little bit of Bears news we didn't get to yesterday, but sounds like Mark Sanchez has an injury. Sanchez expected to be the backup quarterback. Well, was expected to be the backup quarterback before they drafted Mitchell Trubisky, but certainly out of the picture now, so that may affect things moving toward training camp. But a lot of interesting news and nuggets coming out of NFL camps as we make our way toward the start of another NFL season.
And the Ravens are being hit by injuries a little bit.
The Dennis Pitta news, which is unfortunate because a hip injury for a guy of that size and that much power, that's unfortunate. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be career-ending for him, but it's something that has certainly derailed his career to this point.
That's a second one, which is tough. And then one of their starting cornerbacks, Tavon Young, the second-year guy out of Temple, tore his ACL in OTAs. And you just hate to see injuries like that, especially in OTAs where you're not really – there's no contact. Those are the injuries that are a little bit it's a tougher pill to swallow, especially this time of year. So the Ravens, some bad news in OTAs.
It's not all bad news, though, especially if you're a Hawkeye fan. The Buffalo Bills earlier today announcing that they have signed Greg Maben to a free agent deal. So he's going to get a shot to make that team, and he's going to maybe spend a little bit of time in a defensive backfield with another former Iowa defensive back, because Buffalo gave that big four-year contract to Micah Hyde this offseason. So good news and bad news coming out of the NFL today. 319-366-1600. Taking your thoughts on not only the NBA Finals getting underway, but the Stanley Cup playoffs. Stanley Cup Finals are going on as well. The Penguins with a commanding lead in that series. A little baseball on tap tonight, college and MLB. Taking a look at the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Matt in Cedar Rapids chiming in, going back to the NBA. I still think the Warriors in six or seven games.
And that's exactly what I have, Matt. And Michael in Cedar Rapids saying that Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA. I actually have him, and this might be a little bit of a hot take situation, but I have him number three right now. I think Kevin Durant is a very good player. I just love what Kawhi Leonard does in San Antonio. And you can't put a price on not only his ability to take over a game offensively, but the lockdown defense that he plays. And if you think back to 2014, I know this is a situation that everybody wants to go back to and talk about with the with LeBron James, that 2014 run by the San Antonio Spurs when the Spurs beat the Heat in five games. Kawhi Leonard was as good defensively on LeBron James as anybody we have ever seen. So that's a guy who I think is a future NBA candidate, or NBA MVP candidate, and it is a guy who right now deserves to be ranked as the number two player in the NBA, behind, of course, LeBron James.
I don't know if I want to make this joke on Twitter or not. I'll let you decide for me. Gene Taylor, the former deputy athletic director at Iowa, who's now the AD at Kansas State, tweeted that he's about to throw out the first pitch at Kauffman Stadium for Kansas State Day. Kauffman Stadium, the home of the Kansas City Royals. Have not thrown a baseball in a year. Should be fun. I want to make a joke about it's all about your release point. Because of the, you don't do it? Not funny? Don't do it?
Nah, you should do it.
Bill Snyder did finally relent. He did finally relent.
That's a sore subject for him because you...
You know what? I like Gene Taylor, and I'm not going to do it, but that one sort of was writing itself, and then I had second thoughts. But that's not a good look, and I don't know how many times we've got to talk about this. The transfer rule in college sports, this kid had 35 schools on his list that he took to Bill Snyder. And none of them were Big 12 teams, and none of them were future opponents that Kansas State was going to play in the non-conference. There was absolutely no reason to prevent him from transferring. I don't know what cards Bill Snyder thought he was holding, but he overplayed his hand. And everybody likes Bill Snyder. He's the kindly grandpa of college football. He writes handwritten notes to players telling them how great they are. And, I mean... he's a nice old man and a really good football coach, but even nice people can be jerks sometimes.
They can.
And this seemed vindictive, and I wasn't quite sure what the end game was here. It's different than Bo Ryan and Jared Utoff, where he's trying to keep Utoff from going to a Big Ten school, or he's telling him he doesn't want him to transfer to Marquette. This is a kid who went out of his way to try to leave Kansas State and go somewhere that it wasn't going to affect the Wildcats. And Bill Snyder's justification was, you know, depth. He didn't want to hurt his depth by allowing players. This is the same NCAA that will allow coaches to leave their job at a second's notice with no penalty whatsoever, and yet the kids are held to a much different standard, and once they sign that letter of intent, they're essentially held hostage by the school. I don't know. Do you think this is going to change anytime soon?
Anytime soon?
Even Bill Snyder is taking this rule to the limits.
Yes. Not within the next couple of years, but I don't understand it in the first place, quite honestly. With, like you just brought up, you just outlined my entire argument and pretty much everybody's entire argument on this case, and you see some sports scribes.
It's what I do. I take things from people and don't give them credit for it.
You see some sports scribes from around the country. Every time something like this happens, they rally around the fact that, okay, these kids aren't getting paid. Let them transfer to where they want to transfer, especially if they're losing a season of eligibility. If that rule is in place, then they should be able to transfer where they damn well please. And the fact that a college coach can sit there and say, who makes millions and millions of dollars per year from the university, can sit there and say, nope, he can't go there, while he can up and go wherever he wants at the drop of a hat, is ludicrous. It doesn't pass the smell test on any level, and it needs to be done away with. So I think the NCAA is going to do some soul searching. They did some soul searching on the early signing period. They changed that. The satellite camp has been a little bit of a fluid situation. It's gone back and forth, and quite honestly, right now, I don't know exactly where that stands at the moment. But this needs to be changed, and it needs to be changed sooner rather than later.
319-366-1600, that's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Hawkeyes and Cougars about 15 minutes away from first pitch in Texas. Lots of other NCAA regional baseball action going on as we speak. You can watch it all here at the Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, including Indiana in action against NC State. The Hoosiers right now on top 3-2. So at least one Big Ten team playing well today, but the other three that have played and are in the books already have all lost. So the Hoosiers and the Hawkeyes looking to at least give the Big Ten a decent showing on day two of the NCAA Regional Baseball Tournament. Day one was yesterday out in Provo, Utah, thanks to BYU getting into the field. We'll step aside, and when we come back, we'll give you a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update and send you on your way into what will be a regular two-day weekend. That's always the worst part about coming off a three-day weekend, going back to Saturday, Sunday, and having to show up to work on Monday, especially when Monday's your first day on the job, right, Kyle? 319-366-1600. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire.
When is the best time to buy? Denny's at the Westdale Used Car Superstore, what do you say?
The time is now. Best time, best deals at the best place. Go West, the Westdale Used Car Superstore.
Known in these parts as the home of the factory connection.
I can't comment on that, but with over 2,000 pre-owned vehicles, budget Boulevard buys from $6,000, a huge selection under $10,000, and guaranteed credit approval, the time is definitely now.
Told you he was the answer man.
And for people worried about their trade-in, get at least $2,000 for your trade.
That's regardless of condition. At the Westdale Used Car Superstore.
And over 2,000 vehicles means you can shop Chevys, Toyotas, Hondas, Jeeps, Fords, Hyundais, every make and model.
Every price range, the confidence of guaranteed credit approval.
And at least $2,000 guaranteed for trade-in, regardless of condition.
Now is the time at the Westdale Used Car Superstore.
Right behind Walmart at Wiley and 33rd Avenue, Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
$2,000 for your trade financed through the Westdale Used Car Superstore. For details,
log on McGrathAuto.com, click specials.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
All right, 8 minutes away from 7 o'clock. Just a reminder for listeners on 107.5 FM tonight, 8:30 is go time for the Minnesota Twins Radio Network. Twins on the West Coast taking on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. We'll have it for you on the Twins Radio Network again, 8:30 with the pregame first pitch at the Big A expected for 9 o'clock. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one. The Iowa baseball team begins NCAA regional play tonight in Houston against the top-seeded Houston Cougars. 7:04 first pitch expected as Iowa sends left-hander Ryan Erickson to the mound in its first game of the double elimination tournament. A win means the Hawkeyes will play Texas A&M tomorrow. A loss means Iowa would face Baylor. Texas A&M an 8-5 winner over the Bears earlier today. First baseman Jake Adams picking up another All-American honor this afternoon. He was named a second-team All-American by College Sports Madness. UNI's wrestling program could soon be joining the Big 12 as an affiliate member, according to the website iawrestle.com. Only Iowa State and three other Big 12 schools actually have wrestling. The rest of the conference is made up with affiliate members. The Panthers have wrestled in a similar fashion in the Mid-American Conference since 2012. Iowa State will be receiving a 15% increase in revenue from the Big 12 this season. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby announced today each school's share this season, $34.8 million. That's up from $30.4 million in 2016. And the Cedar Rapids Colonels on the road tonight, taking on the Burlington Bees at Community Field. Colonels last night an 11-1 winner at Veterans Memorial Stadium. And I'm not into omens and signs of good luck at all, but I see one of Iowa baseball's biggest fans, Ray Gilmore, here with us at the Coach's Corner. And if Ray is not in Houston, then, I mean, it probably gives Rick Heller's Hawkeyes a fighting chance tonight. So you look at the results so far, as we've touched on, Indiana currently leading NC State. The other three Big Ten teams that were in action today, Michigan lost to Florida Gulf Coast 10-6. Yale upset Nebraska 5-1, although Jack Dom joined us and pointed out that Nebraska was probably overseeded by the committee this year due to the injury situation that the Huskers were dealing with. And then West Virginia, a 9-1 winner over Maryland. So the Big Ten 0-3 right now in NCAA regional play, with a fourth game in progress and the fifth and final game about to get underway, and that's Iowa and Houston. That leads us back to the poll question at KGYMradio.com. How will the Hawkeyes fare this weekend at the NCAA Regionals? We give you several options. Check out our sponsor, Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. I'm not going to ask you for predictions. I'm just going to ask you if you've got anything on tap this weekend.
No, I'm going to keep up with Iowa baseball, hang around Iowa City. I know a lot of people make fun of me that I don't hang around Eastern Iowa all that often.
Who's making fun of you?
Oh, no, not you.
Okay, and I was going to say,
there have been a lot of people.
Never said anything.
Well, you're gone all the time. But
I don't want you to go home with that fidget spinner and then look up at the clock and realize it's like 9 o'clock on Sunday night and you've just been on the couch all weekend.
No,
okay?
This thing is going away. This is for work purposes only.
Try to promise me that.
I will promise you that because, like I said, work purposes only. But for the Hawkeyes, like Jack talked about, if Ryan Erickson can get off to a good start, get a couple innings under his belt, and kind of settle in Houston against what is a very good lineup in a very hitter-friendly park, especially to left field, then I think the Hawkeyes have a chance. He needs to keep the ball down, attack the corners, and as Jack said, that location on his fastball is going to be crucial. I'm going to be interested to see if the Hawkeye offense can solve another pitcher of the year in their respective conference. It's going to be fun to watch, and like we said, for people who follow this program, kind of anything that happens from here on out, icing on the cake. The team doesn't have that same mentality.
We'll talk Hawkeye baseball win or lose coming up on the program Monday. A lot of Major League Baseball as well to look back on, including the Cubs-Cardinals series. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire come to an end.
Missing that spring in your step? Maybe it's time to